Before we get started today, just a quick reminder about our Buy Me a Coffee memberships. As you may already know, you can treat our office staff to 1 to 5 coffees a month, and in return, you get exclusive benefits like special newsletters, behind-the-scenes content, direct access to Q&As with us, as well as a special shout-out here on our podcast. And today I want to thank our Buy Me a Coffee members, Anderson da Silva, Kat Kramer, Fra, Peter Suffering, Anna Lund, Mabel Shu, and someone who chose not to reveal their name. We're delighted that the list is growing, and we thank you very much for your support. If you'd like to support independent journalism too and hear your name on our podcast, just head over to our Buy Me a Coffee link and subscribe to one of the membership tiers. If you cannot make a monthly commitment, you can still tip us a cup of coffee to give us the energy we need to cover a country as complex as Brazil and a region as complex as Latin America. And we appreciate all your support. Just go to buymeacoffee.com/Brazilian Report to find out more. If you have a liking for Brazilian music and use platforms such as Spotify, you might have heard of Anitta. She's arguably the most famous Brazilian pop star of the moment and seems to be a ubiquitous presence in the country's music scene and television. She stars in several ads.
Troca o chip. Vem pro Brasão com o dobro de internet.
She performed before the last final match of the Copa Libertadores, South America's version of the UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm interested. Every time you look at me.
She was one of the guests at the Uber-exclusive 2021 and 2022 Met Gala in New York City.
Hi, guys! I'm shooting with Cosmopolitan today, and you guys are going to follow me on my day getting ready for Met Gala. Let's go.
And in March 2022, Anitta became the first Brazilian artist to ever appear in Spotify's Global Top 10, one of the most important metrics in music today. She spent 2 days at the number one with her hit song Envolver. Sure, her Spotify achievement was boosted by Brazilian users who wanted to see her at number one. But still, Anitta is huge in Brazil. I mean, huge. One could say that she's the Brazilian Beyoncé in terms of cultural clout and media presence. She was recognized by the Guinness World Record by being the first Latin artist to reach number one on Spotify's global charts. Oh, and by the way, Anitta just headlined the Lollapalooza Music Festival in Paris. So, well, last week, she announced her endorsement of former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva in this year's election. In her message, Anitta clarified that her endorsement of Lula was merely a pragmatic one, focused on ousting incumbent far-right President Jair Bolsonaro, and she stressed that she is not a supporter of Lula nor of his Workers' Party. Still, after her announcement, Lula's presence on social media got a major boost. Anitta, after all, has a combined following of over 100 million users across different platforms. But even with the buzz that these celebrity endorsements create, what do they really mean when the time comes for Brazilians to cast their vote? That's what we're going to try and answer this week. My name is Gustavo Ribeiro, editor-in-chief of The Brazilian Report. This is Explaining Brazil. Anitta now joins a list of other Brazilian stars and influencers, like YouTuber Felipe Neto, rapper Mano Brown, singers Ludmilla, Chico Buarque and Caetano Veloso in her support for Lula. But the Workers' Party candidate is not the only one receiving the vote of the country's celebrities. President Jair Bolsonaro has secured the endorsement of another musical sensation, Gustavo Lima, as well as from many other artists in the musical genre of sertanejo, Brazil's answer to American country music. Football legend Ronaldinho Gaúcho, as well as other players, are also in Bolsonaro's corner. Now, it is always hard to measure how much celebrity endorsements can sway an election, especially one which is, at least according to the polls, as lopsided as this one. If the elections were today, Lula would likely win by a landslide. To explain the dynamics behind celebrity endorsements in Brazil and their possible consequences on the outcome of this year's presidential election, we have invited David Niemer, a researcher at the Department of Media Studies of the University of Virginia and a faculty associate at Harvard University's Berkman Klein Center and Princeton University's Brazil Lab. David, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So, David, before asking you about political endorsements, I'd like to talk to you about Brazilians' relationship with influencers. Data from the latest Statista Global Consumer Survey shows that social media influencers in Brazil wield the biggest power of people's purchasing decisions, with almost half of consumers saying that they choose a brand or a product based on endorsements from celebrities online. Why does this happen?
Currently, we're seeing, you know, Generation X and Generation Z moving towards online platforms to consume their information. For example, just recently we had a poll noticing that Gen Z mostly goes to TikTok to consume their information and goods, the same way that the boomers go to Facebook to consume information and goods. So this has become a norm where these generations are turning their backs to mainstream media, for example, to consume their information, hence consuming habits. The pandemic has accelerated this behavior since people spent more time in online platforms. And also these online platforms are becoming more efficient in capitalizing on the economy, on the attention economy, which means that they're able to maintain these people on their platforms more often. Thus, they're more efficient in selling the ads that they show on their websites.
Now, in many parts of the world, we see consumers and fans changing their perceptions of companies and artists depending on how they position themselves or don't position themselves in regards to issues they find important. Do we see the same thing happening in Brazil?
Yes, we have a new generation of consumers, like I said, like the Gen Zs. And they are not necessarily affiliated with a political ideology, a political party, but they're very much interested in certain causes like climate change, LGBTQ rights, feminist rights, human rights. And these are the things that catch the attention and that they pay attention to. So they want to identify themselves with even brands that also identify with these causes. So they don't care if Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos are, you know, billionaires. All they care is if Microsoft or Amazon are aligned with their views and principles. They really want these companies to pay attention to issues related to climate change, for example, to the preservation of the Amazon. They also want these companies to be also aligned with issues related to human rights, especially LGBTQ rights, as well as things related to the systemic inequality and racism that the country faces. So these are specific interests that these new consumers, we can say this way, are interested the most.
Now, coming back to politics, Brazil saw record numbers of voter registration for teens aged 16 and 17. And I mean, voting is mandatory in Brazil for those aged 18 and over, but it is optional for people aged 16 and 17. Celebrities, including Anitta, participated in the effort of boosting youth voter registration, and the results were massive. But how much were they due to this celebrity engagement?
Yes. So these celebrities, the rationale behind and how they work on social media, it's just like the companies that I mentioned before, because they represent a brand. Anitta is a brand, currently the most powerful brand in Brazil right now. And the same way that her fans, which are a legion of fans, they're not necessarily aligned with a specific political party or political ideology, but they are aligned with things related to the preservation of democracy, of LGBT rights. And these are the issues that Anitta is specifically concerned about. She's someone who's been very outspoken about inequalities, social economic inequalities in the country, the same way that she's also concerned about the threats that Brazilian's democracy has been facing under Bolsonaro. And her fans, which are millions of fans, they identify themselves with these thoughts. So having that effect that she has already developed with her fans, by telling them that by voting, they can change that, they can change the things that they care about, then they feel passionate about, you know, registering to vote and going forward to actually end the problem, which in Anitta's view, the problem is Bolsonaro.
But by endorsing Lula, Anitta might be automatically angering about one third of the country. And that certainly includes millions and millions of her own fans. Now, David, what is riskier today? To declare your vote and maybe vax a large portion of fans, or maybe stay neutral and risk vaxing everyone?
Yes, and she's been extremely smart about this. She has made it clear that her number one goal is to end Bolsonaro's presidency, like to not get him reelected. She understands the political climate of the country, and she understands that Lula is the one who are, you know, the best bet in beating Bolsonaro, even off the bat in the first run of votes. So she understands this. This is why last week she came clear in saying that she's not affiliated with the Workers' Party. She's not affiliated with Lula. She understands that Lula is the best fit to defeat Bolsonaro. So it's not so much about Lula, but rather it's about defeating Bolsonaro. And by defeating Bolsonaro, she's sending this message to her fan, for her fan base, that she's preserving democracy. She's fighting for preservation of the Amazon. She's trying to promote social equality. She's trying to stand for LGBTQ rights. So this is where she stands when she fights against Bolsonaro. It's not so much about Lula, but it's about defeating this threat that she understands that is Bolsonaro.
Just 2 weeks prior to endorsing Lula, Anitta told followers on social media that she was unsure on who to vote for and that she had to, quote, study the candidates. Now, a cynical person could say that she was non-committal and that 3.5 years of Bolsonaro's body of work is enough material for one person to make a decision. How do you read into her change of stance in a span of 2-3 weeks?
Well, I think she is very careful with the things that she says. Sometimes she's a bit impulsive on her tweets. We can see that a little bit. But she's always very smart in how that she says things. She's very careful. And for example, when she says that she's not with the Workers' Party, she's also reserving herself that later on she can criticize the government for not fulfilling the agenda that she wants the, you know, Lula to put forward. In terms of gaining, it's a very complex question because, one, you know, we could say that they envision a better country. They want Brazil to be a better country. And we all know that Bolsonaro is definitely not the answer here. So we can say in a very positive way that this is her stance. But, you know, speaking of marketing and you know, compromising the loyalty of her base, you know, by standing in favor of those issues that we talked before, she's also enhancing this loyalty from her base. She knows her base really well. She knows what the base wants. To remain oblivious to what they want and how they want it is actually to lose that base, and she does not want it. By standing her ground and saying what she wants is actually fulfilling the needs and the desires of her base. So maybe she may never have a political gain, which is, I doubt that's what she wants. Definitely not economic, because some sponsors may look very suspicious about these engagements, but she's truly speaking to her base here, and she has tons of respect for her base, and this is where she's directing her actions towards to pleasing the base.
Now, we have talked about the influence of influencers, and Anita is certainly a major player on social media. But is her endorsement game-changing in political terms? I mean, I guess nobody could argue that Anita is brilliant and she's extremely business savvy. She is, after all, finding her way into foreign markets like very few, if any, Brazilian artist has. But I mean, I don't know if she would be the one person people look to for advice when trying to decide who they will pick for president. How much can her endorsement translate into actual votes for Lula?
Well, oftentimes we say that the left in Brazil has fallen back in terms of social media engagements, right? The far right has been way better and engaging with their base since 2018. They've had digital tactics and plans. They had, you know, all kinds of engineering to get into WhatsApp and promote WhatsApp groups to promote Bolsonaro. Anyways, the left simply is still trying to engage through traditional means to engage with their base, which wasn't efficient. So, and this void that was left in the left, they are seen through these influencers as a way to reach back to the space that they haven't been able to be in touch for a long, long time. So it's almost as it's a way to go back to the streets and talk to folks that they lost touch with, and especially this new generation of voters, since in Brazil we can vote when you're 16 years old. And this is a range of people that the left has certainly failed to reach out to and to convince. Anita is that person for them. They understand the same way that Felipe Neto has been working in that sense to talk to their fan base, to convince that Bolsonaro is not the way, but now we have to go with Lula. They both have said that. You know, people don't see Anita or Felipe Neto, for that matter, just as a singer or a YouTuber. They truly see the value of their thoughts, of their rationale, and how they think about things and how they say about the issues that concern them. So again, when Anita is talking about LGBTQ rights, she talks about these issues better than anybody else, better than Bolsonaro for sure, and even sometimes better than Lula. So she gets a way to talk straight to these people about the issues that they care the most. Maybe she won't be able to talk about, you know, technicalities about the economy, but these are not the things that really speak to their base. She knows how to talk to the base about the issues that they care. This is how she managed to convince and motivate people to go out and vote.
I mean, to your point, Lula's reply to the Anita endorsement was his most retweeted post ever.
Yes, and that was actually a very mature tweet from Lula, because oftentimes people see Lula as this person that if you're not with the Workers' Party, then you're not with us. If you're not with the Workers' Party, you're not with me, right? But this is not what the message that Lula is trying to send. Lula is saying that, you know, you don't need to belong to the Workers' Party. You don't even need to like us. We have a greater agenda here that we need to conquer which is to defeat Bolsonaro and to get me elected, which is Lula. So he's learning how to play the game. Again, the left and Lula as well are arriving here late, but they are catching up. And his response to Anita shows how much his public relations and his own engagements with Twitter has matured, and he has learned the game.
Now, David, when I was doing research for this interview, I saw an article in which American researchers indicate that celebrity endorsements in politics make sense because they grab and hold voter attention, and they also improve ad recall. But Anita has said that she does not authorize Lula or his party to use her name or image on political ads. Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of her endorsement?
I don't think so, because she's not, again, she's not about a political ideology. She's not about a political party, but she's about standing her ground with her fan base, right? She's concerned, again, about certain issues that she believes that Lula can put forward and try to tackle those issues. But she also wants to be in a position that if those issues are not tackled, she can criticize the government later on. And I think it's a smart way to do it because, of course, if she's not criticizing the government for not putting these issues into resolution, then her base will eventually turn to her and question, you know, where is her voice when the issues that they care are not being considered by the president that she supported and eventually won the elections. So I think this is where she stands. And I think that's a very smart position. And she knows that by standing politically just with one ideology or one person can also be dangerous. And we know that politics in Brazil overall, it's a shaky ground to be on. And she knows that, and she's playing safe here.
Now, Anita has not only endorsed Lula, but she has also ripped into Jair Bolsonaro and called him Lord Voldemort, who is, of course, the villain of the Harry Potter saga. What is more impactful here, her positive words about Lula or her negative comments about Bolsonaro?
Playing the logics of social media, of course, attacking Bolsonaro gives her a lot of engagements on her tweets, on Instagram, right? And she balances that really well, because otherwise, if she's constantly criticizing Bolsonaro, then she knows that her platforms will become very negative. And this is not good, for example, for sponsors, right? They don't want to be in a platform that is constantly being negative about things. So it really depends on what she wants to accomplish. Again, if she wants social media engagement by criticizing Bolsonaro, she will get that larger engagement just because social media algorithms tend to prioritize tweets or posts that are have a negative connotation, a negative tone. But of course, when she wants to bring a more of a positive view, without really looking into getting a higher engagement, she can eventually engage positive things about Lula, for example, or even give people messages of hopes. Interestingly, her posts on Instagram, the latest one that she posted with the Workers' Party logo, it was one of the most engaged Instagram posts in Brazil. So we're seeing her even like defeating the algorithm logic, that the negative posts are the ones that get the most engagements. That one actually got a lot of engagements.
And to your point, even her criticism is being done in a playful way with the Harry Potter references and all. I mean, it's not as if she were throwing expletives at the president. So her positioning is not necessarily detrimental to the business part of her online persona.
Right. And this is how her base behaves as well. It's a very playful base. And of course, it's a base that knows Harry Potter. And it's, interestingly, Bolsonaro and his son, Carlos Bolsonaro, who takes care of his public persona or social media accounts, they have no idea what Harry Potter is. You know, they don't know who Voldemort is. So they cannot even get back to her with a witty or a smart comeback. This is why when she talked about Voldemort, it stopped right there. There was no comeback from them because they just don't know how to respond, which shows how, you know, even brilliant that post was. So yeah, she's able to escape that negativity that I was talking before and be a little bit more playful and make this hyper-polarized discussions that always happen on social media a little bit lighter. So I give kudos to her for doing that.
Now, one thing about this whole Anita Lula endorsement I find fascinating is that the singer is now publicly and privately giving unsolicited campaign advice to the former president. And that has annoyed some in the Workers' Party who see that she might be positioning herself as a sort of Lula savior. And I mean, Lula is indeed leading all polls. Now, how should the campaign react to her advice? Because going against Anita seems to be the dumbest possible way to handle things.
Yes. Anita has become sort of like Beyonce in the sense that, you know, if you criticize Beyonce online, the bee swarm will come after you and pretty much destroy your online reputation. The same thing has happened to Anita, right? People has built this very strong affection towards her. And they don't like to see her being beat or criticized online. This is why, for example, Lula replied to her in that very mature way. It was actually more engaging than opening up himself to more criticism, for example. The way that she's been giving tips about social media, it's certainly interesting. It comes from a place of someone who lives social media and also researches social media. So I'll be really curious to see how that dynamics plays out. I don't know if she has a team that she debates these things with them or if, you know, if she's doing this all on her own, but, it's been published and, you know, based on the latest interaction between her and the Workers' Party and Lula, seems like Lula's, campaign managers are listening and I believe it's learning. So it's been a learning experience to them as well. That artists will most of the time have this very progressive view for society, right? In Brazil, it's been interesting to see artists who's have more of a conservative views, and those artists are usually from the Midwest, and they're, you know, country singers, which makes a little bit of sense. But Anita is a woman. She comes from the favelas. She has had a full life, full of experiences. She's, you know, traveled the world. She's one of the top artists in the world right now, here in the U.S., where I'm based. I go to the gym. I listen to her song. You know, it's on the speakers. Turn the radio on. She's there. So she has a worldview that she has this aspiration that Brazil becomes a better place. So we can speak, you know, for hours here about tactics, about positionality, about, you know, how to deal and manage social media accounts. But I honestly think that she has a desire for a better country, as we all do. So I also think that that comes from a place of care and love for the country. It's not just this mechanic way of looking into political engagement, but also come from a lot of love and care.
David, thank you very much for talking to us again. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Gustavo. It's always a pleasure to talk to you all.
David Niemer is a researcher at the Department of Media Studies of the University of Virginia and a faculty associate at Harvard University. This episode was produced by Eric Zalkman, who is a Sciences Po student interning at the Brazilian Report. And if you like Explaining Brazil, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts. It takes only a second, and it will certainly help us reach a broader audience. Or better yet, sign up for the Brazilian Report, the journalistic engine behind this podcast. We have a subscription-based business model, and your subscriptions is what fuels our journalism and keep us going and growing. And if you are already a subscriber, then you can give us some extra support by filling our coffee mugs with donations on Buy Me a Coffee. This membership program offers special perks, like behind-the-scenes content and exclusive newsletters. Go to buymeacoffee.com/Brazilian Report. I'm Gustavo Ribeiro. Thanks for listening, and Explaining Brazil will be back next week.